Thing should be for the safety and security of the Jewish people in the whole world. I don't know what else to say. It's been a lot. Hashem should have rachmanis on his children, and Hashem should have rachmanis on the world. We should see the geula b'karov of mamish.
Amen. Do your parents get off or no?
Yeah,
Sounds like it.
they're somewhere in the sky. I hope they'll make it to Eretz Yisrael. There's a chance they'll have to stop in Greece or something like that. There are all sorts of different options, but Amir Tzashem, thank you for asking. They're on their way. Okay, all right. Well, it's kind of has a little bit to do with what we're learning, right? The names of the Midbar Sinai, the Sinah, the hatred and the animosity that the world feels towards the Jewish people, because of our connection to Torah. So that's what we started last time. We started talking about the different names of Midbar Sinai. Okay, so we spoke about a little bit. We touched on again, just to review the Gemara for a second. The Gemara said that it was called Midbar Tzin, with a tzadi, shenetzavu Yisrael alav. It was called Midbar Kadesh because of the kedusha that we experienced there. It was called Midbar Paran because of Paru v'Ravu alav, that they were blessed with children in the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah. It was called Midbar Sinai because it caused a sinna, a hatred, an animosity that came to those who denied Hashem. And it's called Midbar Kademos, because the Torah, which was Kodem to the world, preceded the world, was given there. And its real name was Chorev. And then Rabbi Abo said, well, maybe it's, you know, Har Sinai is its real name, and Har Chorev is because of the Chorban. So this idea of Sinah and Chorban, a hatred, an animosity, and and some type of destruction to someone or something, with the giving of the Torah. Okay, so we're up to, I believe we're up to Midbar Sinai, up to expounding Midbar Sinai. So let's take it from there. Okay, Midbar Sinai Sheyarda Sinah. It was called Midbar Sinai because of the hatred, the negativity that was created from the experience. For who? Sheyarda Sinah L'umas Ha'olam. Right? The Sinah came upon the nations of the world. Perish. Ki roi haya hamidbar li Yisrael. The Midbar is fitting for the Jews. Now, we've been explaining it till now that the Midbar is not a place of Yishuv, it's not a dwelling place or an inhabitable area for anyone, really. But in a certain sense, the Jewish people, who are the ultimate wanderers, in a sense, and the Jewish people whose identity is molded by Hashem, the Jewish people have the humility of the Midbar, and the Jewish people whose place is not really at all anywhere in this world, because we come from a world beyond this world. So in a sense, the Midbar is perhaps the place that is fitting for the Jews. Ki haTorah hi hamayla ha'elyona v'krov el Hashem Yisbarach. Because again, the Torah is close to Hashem. It's the ultimate level. And because of that, it has the closest to Hashem. And therefore, the rejection of Torah or the Jewish people or Hashem, it's all one and the same. All right, let's review the line from the Zohar. The Zohar says that Kutcha Brichu, Yisrael and Araisa are Chad, right? There are three which are connected to each other, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people. Which means that if they're really one, if you see them as one entity, so if you despise or if you have a problem with one of them, you're probably going to have a problem with all of them. So if you don't like God, you're not going to like Torah, you're not going to like the Jewish people. If you don't like the Jewish people, you're not going to like God, you're not going to like Torah. So therefore, the Torah, which is the Maila El Yona, which is very close to Hashem, it's understood, therefore, umi shemarchik oavo v'krovo shel echad, one who distances the one who is close to or connected to so-and-so, to someone. So memela automatically marchik gam kein oso shu karvlo. Right? If I don't like you, I don't like your friends. If I don't like you, I don't like your family. Right? So therefore, lakach haTorah she krovo v'oavo shel Hashem Yisbarach. So the Torah, which is so close to Hashem, the Medrash sometimes calls the Torah the daughter of Hashem, right? It's the mind of Hashem, it's the will of Hashem. There's a lot of ways we can explain why the Torah is so close to Hashem, but it's somewhat self-understood. And therefore, kasher rachu oso akum, so when the nations of the world pushed it away, when they distanced themselves from what? From the Torah, right? Nisrachu men Hashem yizbarach richo gamor. So by distancing from the Torah, they were distancing entirely from Hashem himself. And it's for that reason that we often, again, primarily refer to it as Midbar Sinai. And this is the name that is most fitting for the Midbar. Because again, the rejection of Torah and the rejection of Hashem is the most significant thing that took place through the giving of the Torah, as far as the Umas HaOlam are concerned. And that's why, again, Midbar Sinai is the common name that's used. Yes, we encounter these other names in Tanakh and in Torah itself. Right? But the main name, if I were to ask you, where was the Torah given? Sinai, Midbar Sinai. Ki kvar amarnu ki amidbar mako midas adin, as we've explained last time, a midbar is a place of midas adin, umevi midas adin, and there's a certain gvura, right, that comes along with the Torah. It's again part of the Bereshis Bara Elokim, the midas adin, a certain exacting nature of the Torah, demanding nature of the Torah, and therefore yarda sina leumos shechikwa satora. So it brought an animosity, it brought a hatred, a rejection of the Umas HaOlam by Hashem. Because if you reject my Torah, when God was offering the Torah to all the nations of the world, and no one wanted it, you reject my Torah, you reject me. The king says, you want to marry my daughter, and you say thanks, but no thanks. So obviously, the king is not going to like you very much. So it created a tremendous tension between Hashem and the nations of the world. V'lechein mazkir tamid midbar Sinai. Because again, the Midbar and its and the messages that we've been expressing of what the Midbar represents, and the rejection of those messages and those ideas, right, is what caused this negativity, this distance to be formed between Hashem and the nations of the world. Now, again, on a certain level, the nations of the world are also created in the image of Hashem. And there's a certain relationship that they have with Hashem, right? But there's also a certain tension that exists, which is why many people, right, have tried to disprove God, right? If you don't want to believe in God, so don't believe in God. Leave God alone. Why do you have to pick on God? Why does an atheist, someone who doesn't believe in God, why does he have to flaunt his views, right? So he would say he's waging a holy battle. He's trying to reveal his truth, right? But if you don't believe in God, so don't believe in God. Why do you have to fight over it? But that all goes back to the sinna, the animosity, and the tension that was created at Har Sinai. Midbar Kademos, again, we said that the mountain and the Midbar, the wilderness, was also called Midbar Kademos. Shenasna Keduma Alav, because that which preceded the world, that which was Kodem, the Torah, was given there. Perish, that is to say, Ki Roy HaMidbar LeTorah Kamosh Yizbar. Right, the Midbar was already part of the original plan, just like Torah was prior to the world. So in a sense, the Midbar was also an obvious part of how the Torah would find expression in the world. Why was the Torah created before the physical world? Because the Torah is spiritual, it's godly. And therefore the Torah preceded the world, which is physical. And therefore, as we've explained, it makes sense to give the Torah in a midbar being a place that is removed from physicality. The midbar doesn't have the regular type of life living within it. And therefore, Torah should be given there. Again, as we explained above, the nature of the midbar, what a midbar represents. An area that is not inhabited by human beings, and sort of the natural way which people live upon certain parts of the earth. Umashemo Chorev Shemo. And the Gemara concluded by saying, what is its true name? The real name is not Midbar Paran or Midbar Kademos or Midbar Sinai even. Its real name is Chorev. Ki akol nimshach achar zeh. B'masha kol midbar hu makom chorev. Hu bizeh nimshachu kol hachamisha shemos. Like all wildernesses, and again, this is in some ways is the ultimate midbar, the ultimate desert, the ultimate wilderness, right? It's called Chorev because every midbar is a makom Chorev, is a desolate, abandoned, you know, lifeless type of place. Umizeh nimshachu kol chamisha shemos. And from there, the five names emerge. V'kasher taschu b'chochma timtza. And if you understand, again, he's hinting to a lot of deep things, which I don't understand. But if we understood more deeply, we would understand ki amidbar hazeh yesh lo hei shemos ba'avor ki amidbar roi l'chamesh. We would understand that a midbar is associated, connected to the concept of five, mitzad etzem koach hamidbar, because five, in some ways, is connected also to midas hadin, 5 is somehow connected to Midas HaDin. How is 5 connected to Midas HaDin? I would say like this. I would say that in the Sviros, you have Chesed on the right, you have Gvura on the left. You have Tiferes in the middle, that's 3. Netzach on the right, Hod, 5 on the left. Hod, again, is a Midah of Din. It's on the left-hand side, right? So 2, multiplicity, is Midas HaDin. Moves us away from the oneness of Hashem. 5 also has a connotation of Midas HaDin. Think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we darshan in the Haggadah, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing Piranus to the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu used his Yad, and the 5 fingers of the hand maybe represents, again, a little bit of the Midas HaDin. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the Maharal is saying here. Mitzad etzem koach ha-midbar, but the Midbar is saying, Midbar, by definition, is a desolate place. Midbar is a place of Midas HaDin. Midbar is a place that is devoid of life. And therefore, Midbar is connected to 5, and hence the 5 names that are assigned here. V'lakach shemos ha-midbar chamisha, v'havein zahetev. Understand this concept very well. Okay. Have to work on that a little bit more. Very deep ideas. Amnam Rabbi Abo Savar Kishamo Atzmi Sinai. Rabbi Abo had a different understanding. Rabbi Abo said that the real name is Sinai, and it was called Chorev Al Shem Kimisham Yada Chorban La'akum, because it was in that place that a Chorban was brought upon the nations of the world. What does that mean? Those who deny Hashem. Nira Rabbi Abo Ki Roy Shenikra Al Shem Chorban Umo She Hashem. He felt that it's more accurate to call it based on the Chorban that was brought upon those who don't believe in Hashem. Ki ze inin ha-midbar shu Chorban. Because this is the nature of a midbar to create and to be a Chorban. V'lakach nimshach mimenu Chorban. Because the wilderness looks like a Chorban, right? There's nothing happening there. There's no life there, right? Everything looks kind of, you know, broken and lifeless. The same way a building that's been destroyed is lifeless. So therefore, the Midbar, because it's such a Chorban, is appropriately called Chorev. And the relationship with the Umas HaOlam through the giving of the Torah became a Chorban. What does that mean? U'mipnei ki koda matan Torah hayo umos ikar hametzios ba'olam. Because before the Torah was given, the nations of the world were the centerpiece of the world. Right? They were the ones who were noticed in the world. But so many of those great nations, right, were destroyed and were replaced, and the values of the world was, you know, molded, right? The Torah brought the world out of the dark ages. The Torah made the world a less barbaric place. The Torah, in so many ways, destroyed the old ways and created a new way. As if the world was destroyed and born again, recreated through the giving of the Torah. And therefore, the place itself is called Chorev. So again, all of this highlights the fact how appropriate it is that the Torah should be given in a midbar. Below Zulazah and nowhere else. This is what I would like to explain for now. Okay, so we understood a little bit about the Eish, understood a little bit about the Mayim, and now we spend some time trying to understand a little bit the nature of the transformation that took place in the Midbar, the Sina that was brought upon the Umas HaOlam, and the Chorban, right? A Chorban, a destruction of the world, in order to replace it with kind of a, you know, a new world order, which is the existence of Torah. Okay, let's start a little bit in the next parak. And this will really, mamash, bring us into these days. This parak talks about the additional day that Moshe Rabbeinu added to the preparation of Kabbalah Satorah, which raises, of course, the question, when was the Torah actually given? Was it given on the 6th? Was it given on the 7th? Okay, let's try it together. We'll start it, and then we'll figure out after Shavuos what we want to do with ourselves. Okay, let's see. Beperek Rabbi Akiva. We're back in Perek Rabbi Akiva. Shabbos Pei Vav Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan. B'shisha b'chodesh nitnu aseres hadibros liYisrael. Okay. On the 6th of the month, Vav Sivan, is when the Jewish people received the aseres hadibros. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shivabo. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, no, it was the 7th day. Omer Rava, Dekuli alma v'rosh chodesh asu l'midbar Sinai. How unbelievable, no? How's it going, Jake? We started learning Maharal a year ago, right before Shavuos, and somehow it worked out that just tonight on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, we're starting the 27th parak, which begins by telling us that what? This unbelievable Gemara says, Rava, Kuli, everyone agrees that on Rosh Chodesh tonight and tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, that's when we first arrived in Midbar Sinai. Okay, so you have to try to picture it. Try to picture what that's like, coming to Midbar Sinai with the anticipation of Kabbalah Satorah. How did Rava know this to be true? K'siv hacha b'yom hazeh, u'k'siv hasam ha'chodesh hazeh. Ma l'holan Rosh Chodesh, ha'chanami Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so everyone agrees that we arrived on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. U'dekuli alma b'shabbos nitna Torah li'Yisrael. And everyone agrees, and that's also something we have such an amazing idea to think about, that everyone agrees that Torah itself was given on Shabbos. K'siv hacha zachor es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadosho. U'k'siv hacha ha-asam zachor es ha-yom hazeh. Right? Remember Shabbos and remember Har Sinai. Ma'al l'holan b'itzumo shel yom. Just like, remember the Shabbos is on Shabbos. Av ha-chanami b'itzumo shel yom. So too, we should remember the giving of the Torah, which took place on Shabbos itself. Okay. So what is the machlokas? Was it on the 6th or on the 7th? Ki pligi, so where is the machlokas? B'kviya diyarcha. The question was, what day of the week was it? Right? When Rosh Chodesh was established. Rabbi Yossi savar b'chad shaba ikviyarcha, u'v'chad b'shaba lo amr lehu v'lo midi, b'shum cholsha d'orcha. Okay, so now the Gemara starts to go through the calendar, right? So they arrived, let's say, on the 1st. They arrived on the 1st. And the first day, Hashem didn't bother them because they were very burdened from traveling. Everyone was exhausted from traveling. So that was Sunday. Betray b'shaba amr lehu v'atem tiuli mamleches kohanim. On the 2nd of the week, they said, you should become the Jewish people, right? I want you to become the mamleches kohanim. B'tzlasa amr lehu mitzvas hagbala. On the 3rd day, Hashem introduced to them the responsibility to find your proper place by the mountain. Ba'arva avid prisha. On the 4th day, the Jews separated from their spouses in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. For Rabbanon Savri and the rabbis hold, no, betray b'shaba ikve yarcha. Rosh Chodesh was on a Monday. Betray b'shaba lo amr lehu v'lo midi, b'shem chol shud orcha. And on that day, Hashem didn't teach them anything because they were exhausted. B'tzlasa amr lehu v'atem tiyu li mamlechas kohanim. Ba'arba amr lehu mitzvah sagbala. Behei avid prisha. And then on the 5th day, on Thursday, is when they started the prisha, the separation from their spouses. Now, what's really going on here? So the Gemara says, Meisivei, the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says, you should sanctify, the pasuk says, Ukidashtem hayom u'machar, you should sanctify today and tomorrow, v'kasha l'Rabbi Yossi, amar lecha yom echad hoisef Moshe midaito. If they're supposed to just sanctify today and tomorrow, so Rabbi Yossi, so how do you say that Kabbalah Satorah was on the 7th day? So he says, no, Moshe added a day. Originally Hashem intended to wait 2 days of preparation, and Moshe Rabbeinu came along and added a 3rd day of preparation. Titania Gimel Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaito. There are 3 things that Moshe did on his own, and Hashem agreed to them. Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yado. What were those 3 things that Moshe decided to do on his own, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the thumbs up? Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. He added 1 day of preparation to Kabbalah Satorah. Pirish Min Isha Midaito. He separated from his spouse. Veshiras HaLuchos. And he broke the Luchos. Okay? My Darish. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's drasha that allowed him to add on a day? He said, the Pasuk, Hashem told me, Hayom U'machar. So Ma Machar Leilo Imo. Afayom Leilo Imo. He wanted not just half days, he wanted 3 full days, right? So he added a 3rd day. Okay, this we're going to have to go through this Gemara and its explanation next time. It's already 9:21, I see. So let's stop here. But again, at least we got to taste this Gemara and remind ourselves that we arrived, tonight is the night, or this day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, is the day that we arrived at Midbar Sinai, and everyone agrees that on Shabbos we got the Torah. Okay, Machlokas, if the Torah, Kabbalah, the Torah, Aseres HaDibros was given on the 6th or the 7th, and that has to do with at what point they separated from their spouses and for how long, and to what degree did Moshe have Rishus to add such a day, that Hashem apparently gave him the thumbs up and said, Moshe, you know, you had your own interpretation of what I said, but I approve of it. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see what this whole thing is about. Moshe adding on a day of preparation to Kabbalah Sitar. Okay, let's stop here for tonight. And Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha. We should be zocha to feel during these days the selection of the Jewish people. Hashem chose us during these days. And as the world is, you know, is on fire right now, Hashem should choose us once again and grant us the Torah once again.